Welcome on into the fan of this early Sunday morning. I got no time for really anything else. We have Andrew Filippone, 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh, also CBS Sports Radio. I promise you, I will tell you everything wrong with Christmas in July, all my other shenanigans coming up later on in the show. We will have James Rapine at 9:20 as well. But Andrew,
what's
giving
up?
Us a couple minutes of your time. Appreciate it, man.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So now you flew in from Vegas, is that right?
I did, yeah.
I might say that
this morning. Frontier.
Is that right? Like, you're wearing all sorts of Golden Knights gear as if this is like something you do on a typical basis.
I changed in a, McLaren is the name of the Vegas airport.
McLaren, yeah.
I put this on.
McLaren's a drink. You can do that too.
Yeah, so this is kind of like quasi like pajamas. Me, I put this on maybe like 6 hours ago.
You look like the team shot puked all over you, is what happened.
Pretty much,
yeah. Which I guess that's fine. So what
Man,
were you doing
Carmen
in Vegas?
Puts a lot of time into those promos for the weekend, huh?
He doesn't
Holy
do
cow.
Any. No, he doesn't do any time in putting in any promos.
Yeah, but that was
other
a creative
people do that
tease.
For him.
He put in three or four lines there that made me want to listen to his show. I'm a little bit taken aback by that.
Yeah, don't give him any credit for that. Somebody else wrote that for him, and then he just went in there and just used his voice, and that was it. It's trying to come up with the most generic ways to preview what's going to happen on Monday while doing it on a Friday, mm-hmm. and he somehow finds a way to navigate that. So what were you doing in Vegas? Was it a bachelor party?
Yeah,
what
pretty
was
much.
It?
Just your cliche week in Las Vegas.
I'm trying to think of, so I recently got engaged. I'm trying to think of where I want to go for my bachelor party. Vegas used
go to
be.
Go to Treasures would be one of my suggestions.
Okay.
Write that down.
Yeah.
Look for a woman there who goes by Ryan. that's just her stage name.
Yeah, I'd hope so.
Her real name is Jessica. I could go on and on about her, but I would write that one down.
Okay.
Remember that one.
All right.
Trying to think. Do not go to the MGM Grand Sportsbook.
Yeah.
Terrible, terrible vibe for me there.
Why? Just a bloodbath
just,
this weekend?
I think my day yesterday was one of those afternoons that makes you question like life itself.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
I had one of those Friday. I went to the casino downtown here. It was absolutely brutal.
I had Tampa against Toronto, and it was like one of the worst losses in Rays history. They had like a 9-1 lead going into the eighth inning, and they lost 10-9 and 10.
Don't talk about it 20 years from now.
When that happens, it's just like, you know, what am I doing with myself? I'm chain smoking Camel crushes in here. I haven't done that since I was 18. So. Yeah.
That's what Vegas will do to you, man.
Right.
That's because it takes you back to whatever your worst age was.
I'm 33 now. Like, my days of doing Vegas bachelor parties, I realized this week, like, the prime time to do that, I think, is like 24 to maybe 30. And
okay.
I'm 33 now. So I'm like Frank Gore. I was basically like the old man.
So
actually, everybody was around my age, but I just felt older than everybody else. I couldn't keep up.
Dude, we can put the jersey to the rafters. It's okay.
Yes.
We can hang it up for you. We'll find different spots. I'm telling you, Vegas can be out as soon as tomorrow for you if you want. You know, all of a sudden you can be one of those guys that, I don't know, vacations in like Charleston, South Carolina or somewhere like that and make that work for yourself. He is Andrew Filippone, CBS Sports Radio, also 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh. We're going to get to some Steelers conversations because that is your bread and butter, but I need to know what you think about the Browns, though, because the expectations are obviously ridiculously high here. I don't think you're going to find anyone coming off that anytime soon, but when you map out this Browns team, first tell me what you like about the Browns, and then do me a solid and tell me what you hate about the Browns so I can tell you how wrong you are.
All right, so this is going to be extremely unpopular, but I'm very down on them this year. I don't buy it. And I'm not just saying that because of where I'm based. I'm not a big fan of... Okay, so what happened here last year was they essentially went 7-8-1 and they didn't beat anybody.
Yeah, that's
the
fair.
Only team they beat was Baltimore in overtime when Joe Flacco was the quarterback and Hugh Jackson said there were still 2 seconds left. Like, that's their only quality win from last year.
Well, and then week 17, we actually just got beat by the Ravens, too, if you want
well,
to
right.
justify
so
that.
Well, right. So my thing on Cleveland is Baker Mayfield in games against good teams threw more interceptions than touchdowns. And that was pretty much with Kitchens as the offensive coordinator.
So you think we're overhyping
yeah,
Baker?
Yeah, like, it reminds me, and this team had very little fanfare because they didn't trade for Odell Beckham Jr., and it's not like a historically good or a team that has much of a following, but it reminds me of when Lovie Smith got fired in Tampa and they just made Dirk Cutter the coach because that's what Jameis Winston wanted. And if you go back and like look at Jameis Winston after his first year as a starter and the way that transition happened, I'm sure you could find articles from down there that said, well, this is the right thing to do. Jameis Winston was the number one pick. He's a Heisman Trophy winner. If this is the head coach he wants, you give him that guy. So I think the hype is overblown. I think with Kitchens up until last year, the extent of his experience as a coach was what? Wide receivers coach?
Running backs.
And then running backs. So I don't think the division is very good. I don't think the Steelers are good enough to run away with it. Since the AFC North, since they went to four divisions, you've needed at least 10 wins to win the division every year. I think this year 9 might do it. I'm not blown away by any one team. I don't think any one team in the division is going to suck, though, either.
So I'll buy into your idea that Freddie Kitchens is, I mean, we don't know what he's going to be. And no one can confidently tell me Freddie Kitchens is going to be a great head coach. That'd be absurd. That'd be ridiculous. I think that's part of the conversation that Browns fans are having in the back of their mind. Like, right. What will Freddie Kitchens actually be? But if we're going to touch the third rail of this conversation, and that is you thinking that Baker Mayfield just isn't a good quarterback.
I didn't say that.
Okay.
I think I'm looking at this NFL top 100 thing that came out last night, and they already have him as the 50th best player in the league. And he's ahead of Cam Newton and Carson Wentz, who... And one guy has been an MVP, and if not for a knee injury, the other guy would have been the MVP. I'm like, what? Off of what, 9 games? He's already like the 6th best quarterback in the league? That's insane. What I don't get about that is the inconsistency in sports where, you know, if a hitter goes out and hits 10 home runs in a month, it's a small sample size. But if a quarterback does it for 6 games, well, we're ready to crown him as the next best thing. I don't get that.
But you could see what he was doing out there. And you could see when he set a single-season rookie touchdown record in 13 games.
No doubt. But he beat Jeff Driskel twice.
Sure.
He went to Denver and beat
Case Keenum. Other team's quarterback.
I understand that. Yeah. What's the best defense he beat then?
No, I understand the argument. And I'm waiting to see that myself. Trust me. This is one of the few arguments that always gets me in trouble in Cleveland is when I bring up the records from past teams and teams that we played.
Right.
And you go, okay, you still got to see it. But you could play quarterback for the Browns this year with OBJ, with Kareem entering the fold in week 9, but you have Nick Chubb in there for the first 8 games, with Jarvis, with David Njoku, who's a top 10 tight end. You could play quarterback and probably get this team to .500.
Do they have the line?
We have a right guard issue right now.
Okay.
Outside of that, it was
very
good
defense?
Last year. Defense has an elite playmaker at every level and has one of the more imposing defensive lines that you'll see in football.
Yeah, I like the front four. I just wonder, outside of Denzel Ward, who's the guy in the secondary that's going to make plays? I can tell you from personal experience that Morgan Burnett blows with a capital B.
I don't even know anymore. So we had Dustin Fox, one of our hosts in the afternoon. He told us, he said his surprise pick to not even make the team was going to be Morgan Burnett.
So let's not put that on that. What was up with that signing then? Because did he get a decent deal?
It was a decent deal. Yeah, John Dorsey, as you know from Kansas City.
He's got the Green Bay connection with him, right?
That's exactly it. And John Dorsey, it was one flaw in Kansas City outside of not wearing suits properly was the fact that he didn't hand out contracts particularly well.
So what are your expectations for the Browns then? Am I that far off? Like, I'm saying that they're going to either win 7 games again. Maybe if things break right, they'll win 9. But I don't have their that's to me their ceiling.
Oh, no, yeah. Low end at 7 is absurd to me. I mean, he's got to, like, from Ernie McCracken and Kingpin, he's got to get drunk and fall down and injure himself for us to see 7 games as a win total. It's got to be somewhere, I would think 9 is the low, maybe 11 or 12 at
the
top.
So do you look at the Bengals as an automatic 2 wins?
Yeah, I do. And it's happening in the later part of the season. You know, you get in the final 4 games, we play the Bengals twice. At that point, yeah.
So here's my thing with Cincinnati, and this is why I don't think the division is going to – I don't think a high win total is going to win it. I think if you look at the Bengals, and this is provided that Green isn't, like, horribly injured from that ankle spat in Dayton. I don't know why. That whole thing is just ridiculous.
Right.
Practicing there. I would put – and I think Landry and Odell Beckham Jr. would be ahead of them. But I don't think they're that much better than Green and Boyd in terms of a wide receiver combo.
Yeah, but it's all about health.
Okay, fair enough. And then I think at running back, I would put Mixon up against anybody in the league right now.
Yeah, but you're not putting Mixon up against a combo of Chubb and Hunt.
Well, I got to see with Hunt, right? I got to see with him.
No, you don't. He's led the NFL in rushing. He's done that. He's accomplished that. Him being out for 8 games is not going to impact that at all.
So you think he just steps right in and then what? He takes the job from Chubb or they just
yes,
go
I'm betting
one
he steps right in the same way I'm sure Jets fans are betting Le'Veon Bell steps right in and doesn't miss anything.
Okay.
Yeah, I would make that same bet 12 times out of 10.
All right. I mean, look, they've got excellent – the Browns have excellent skill position players. There's no doubt about that. But I'll just tell you from personal experience.
Yeah.
I watched a friggin' team where I live – with arguably the best quarterback, running back, wide receiver combination in the league over the last 2 years. How many playoff games did they win? Zero. Jacksonville came in there and with Blake Bortles kicked their ass, scored 45 points. One of the worst playoff losses I've ever, maybe in Steelers history. It's up there at home. And I watched last year a team trip and fall into 9-6-1. An x-ray machine cost them a game in Oakland where they don't put Ben back on the field. They blew the biggest second half lead in team history against the Chargers. They go to Denver, and Ben blames Pouncey for blocking a defensive lineman into the ball at the end zone on the 1 yard line. My point is, it was a highly combustible team last year with a lot of egos, and for the last 2 years, it's been the case. And
I wonder if
that is the same. To me, I see some parallels between the Steelers of the last 2 years and the Browns.
I see what you did there. And as you're going through it, I'm like, all right, doing the autopsy for yourself on what that Steelers team that you've been watching.
So can you understand how I'm down on the Browns when I've watched a pretty much clueless coach in Tomlin?
Yes.
Who let the players walk all over him. How many times? I know the Steelers won
the game. But here's the difference, Andrew. I would bet my life that Baker Mayfield is different than Big Ben as far as his leadership and as far as how he's able to relate to players.
I would bet
my life he's better than Big Ben in that regard.
I mean, Baker already came out and ripped the running back, right? I mean, we've already...
He talked about his contract. A young rookie, you know, second-year quarterback talked about another running back's contract will likely be gone before the season starts.
So let me just get this straight, though.
Okay.
If you had the game of your life tomorrow, if you lose the game, the engagement is off, you're back on the street, you're down in the dumps, your life is pretty much over, and you got to pick between Ben and Baker Mayfield, you're taking Baker right now?
Yeah, right now I'm taking Baker.
Wow!
I am.
Wow!
And Big Ben threw for 5,000 yards last year. I understand that. But I'm talking about as a team aspect and everything as far as from what a leader is and from what a... Like, Big Ben didn't work with Le'Veon Bell. He didn't work with Antonio Brown. He went on your radio station weekly ripping players left and right. Baker Mayfield would never do that.
I wouldn't say weekly. I'd say he had a tendency when things got down where he would deflect blame sometimes on other people.
Like Baker would never do that.
I don't know about that. The guy runs his mouth. He's got a feud with Hugh Jackson. Let that go. Jackson's a joke. He's a punchline in football. Shut up. Why do you need to keep doing that? Who cares what Colin Cowherd thinks? Let him make his 700 grand go skiing two times a year in Utah. You know, he's got three or four people he likes to pick on. Let him do it. Why does he care? Why? So I want to see – that's one thing Baker Mayfield has never really had to deal with. I know he likes to play the chip on his shoulder, underdog story, walk on Texas Tech, et cetera.
That's his gimmick.
I know, but I want to see when he's got some real adversity. Because, frankly, the guy has never really faced it in his college or pro career, not one time. So if he's already, like, clapping back at people when he's on top of the world, if they lose, I don't know, two out of the first three games – I want to see how he handles that. I want to see how Odell handles that, too, by the way.
No, that's one thing we're noting.
And let me tell you one more thing about Odell. And I'm a Giants fan more than I'm a Steelers fan.
Okay.
1-7 in his career against the Eagles. How do I know that? Because I memorize stupid stuff like that. Because every time he was in a game against their biggest rival, he pretty much sucked. I think he had one 100-yard game against Philly in his 5 years in New York. So he's got something to show me. I know he's an awesome talent and he makes all kinds of crazy plays. But again, personal experience, I watched Antonio Brown basically obliterate a team last year, and I'm not putting that past Odell either.
Well, and the wild card game, the one wild card game he got to play in was one of his worst games of his career.
Right. Because what is he doing before? He's on a boat with his I don't know.
That's why the first 5 weeks of the schedule for the Browns really has a lot of people.
And I'll tell you what, I don't really just buy the fact that because Jarvis Landry is his friend, he's going to corral Odell Beckham Jr. and you're going to get the guy on his best behavior for the entire year. I don't buy that. Maybe it's a best case scenario. It's Terrell Owens, his first year in Philly, and he's just a model citizen. And then from there, I think, let's be honest with each other. Odell's a guy you date, you don't marry.
Yeah, well, we're betting on the marry part of this. We're betting that everything will be turned out and everything will be all right. And by the way, on the point within the locker rooms, I will take arrogant over falsely humble. Honestly arrogant over falsely humble. 10 times out of 10 for this team. I will.
Well, who are the falsely humble people you're talking about? Like, just in general, you're saying?
Yeah, guys like Mitch Trubisky that go to the podium and give you cliches. I'll take Baker Mayfield.
I mean, he stinks.
And his absolute, complete arrogance, but it's honesty. I'll take that, especially from a sports radio perspective.
Sure.
I know you'll take that as well.
Right.
I didn't even get to the Lima. You know, do you have just a couple seconds here?
Yeah, what happened with him?
All right, I want you to play Lima's clip because I need to talk to you about Mike Tomlin really fast. This was Lima on Friday on Baskin and Phelps.
We mentioned continuity earlier in the show, and I said, boy, those guys in black and gold are showing continuity. And Mike Tomlin, as Jonathan just told us, signing a 2-year contract.
Which means nothing.
No, except that
it means nothing.
That continues.
I don't know. Pittsburgh got it. I think they'd like to pay off the contract.
If they don't make the playoffs this year, he's getting canned. That extension means absolutely nothing.
All right, do you agree with Lima or no?
Well, first of all, Lima goes on the middays as a guest?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he was at training.
So he's a host, and then they bring him on in like a guest spot.
He did 4 hours of morning radio, and then he was at training camp, and they brought him over.
They just threw him on.
He's never met a mic he doesn't love.
We've got like, 50 years of history to tell us that they're probably not going to fire Mike Tomlin if he misses the playoffs. Bill Cowher missed the playoffs 3 straight years, and he got a contract extension. So I'm not convinced that if the Steelers go, say, 9-7 and the Browns go 10-6 and they miss the playoffs by a game, that Tomlin's out. I hope he is. I want him to be.
You want him gone?
I do, yeah. I think the Steelers have been the league's biggest underachiever the last 2 years. And it's not, you can't pin it on injuries. And the way they've carried themselves and handled themselves, I think, is completely unacceptable.
Andrew Filippone, thanks for giving us a couple minutes.
You bet,
man. Appreciate
guys.
It.
You're not taking my show today. You're on the air, right?
No, I'm on the
Who's
air.
Who's on at 10?
Yeah. Jake Chapman. Just follows me. He'll be at Browns training camp.
Okay.
Yeah.
I guess I can't. If he was in studio, I'd say, come on, just put my show on.
I know. But, I know.
All right.
I would do it too. It's okay.
Hey, nice to meet you guys. Thanks for having me
today. Hey, great. Thanks for stopping in, man. Of course, check out Andrew Filippone, CBS Sports Radio, and also 93.7 The Fan. More to come. Jonathan Pino here with you on 92.3 The Fan.